Wyobraź sobie, że idziesz do dentysty, a tutaj obsługuje cię gość ze strasznie żółtymi, zgniłymi zębami. Nie budzi to za bardzo zaufania. Idziesz do kręgarza, a tam totalnie garbaty gość, krzywy niesamowicie, trochę nieufnie podszedłbyś do tego. Idziesz do lekarza, lekarz z paczką fajek przyjmuje cię na wizytę i raczej nie wygląda na zdrowego, słabo. W związku z czym chcemy, żeby ludzie byli spójni, żeby mieć przekonanie, pewność tak naprawdę, że oni wiedzą, co mówią, co robią i co, że to będzie skuteczne, tak? Dlatego też dzisiaj, gdy będę ja i Steve Kaufman z Kanady, będziemy ci mówić, jak szybko i skutecznie uczyć się języków, to żebyś wiedział, że nie jesteśmy teoretykami, którzy sobie to wymyślili i przeczytali w jakiejś książce, tylko robią to, to pogadamy w 7 językach. Dzisiejszy wywiad odbędzie się po polsku, po hiszpańsku, po portugalsku, po niemiecku, po francusku, po angielsku i chyba jeszcze jakiś język pominąłem, nie wiem, czy włoski padł. W każdym razie w 7 językach, także będzie to swobodna rozmowa, w której zmieniając języki na bieżąco będziemy przekazywać Ci wiedzę na temat tego, jak nauczyć się języka skutecznie. Zapraszam!
Zawsze chciałem wiedzieć, co różni ludzi najlepszych w swoich dziedzinach od całej reszty. Postanowiłem, że po prostu zapytam ekspertów, jak oni to robią. Biorę zatem Bentleya i ruszam na spotkanie z prawdziwym mistrzostwem. Nazywam się Maciej Wieczorek, a ten program to Ekspert w Bentleyu.
Steve Kaufman, podróżnik, jeden z najpopularniejszych poliglotów na świecie, mówiący w 20 językach. Twórca autorskiej aplikacji do efektywnej nauki języków LingQ. Ruszajmy! Uwaga, uwaga! Trwa sprzedaż naszych kursów językowych na platformie instytutlingwistyki.pl. Mamy aż 10 języków i jesteś w stanie w ciągu kilku miesięcy od rozpoczęcia nauki nauczyć się języka w stopniu komunikatywnym, żeby się dogadywać, może nie bezbłędnie, może nie idealnie, ale nie o to chodzi, tylko właśnie o to, żeby mówić i dobrze się bawić, ucząc się tego mówienia. I to właśnie dla Ciebie mamy. Na naszej platformie masz 5 lat dostępu do wszystkiego, co tam wrzucamy. Masz 6 kroków, gdzie krok po kroku prowadzimy Cię za rączkę przez to, jak się nauczyć języka. Mamy dla Ciebie fajne podcasty, olewamy gramatykę, zostawiamy ją na sam koniec, ponieważ wcześniej nie ma sensu, byłaby to strata czasu i co gorsza nerwów, dlatego też bawimy się dobrze. Od niedawna mamy również dla Ciebie aplikację LingoMouse, którą pobierasz na swojego smartfona i w każdej wolnej chwili możesz sobie klikać, robić ćwiczenia z naszą myszą, która zdobywa serek, rozwiązując kolejne ciekawe przykłady. Wysłaliśmy ludzi z kamerami, z mikrofonami do 10 państw świata po to, żeby ponagrywali tam w każdym z tych miejsc kilkudziesięciu obcokrajowców, którzy czytają te zdania i słowa w aplikacji LingoMouse, więc wchodząc tam masz fajne, konkretne filmy, nagrania. To są wideo, gdzie różni ludzie z różnych kultur, z różnych państw czytają słowa i zdania, dzięki czemu poznajesz prawdziwy język obcy, można powiedzieć, z ulicy, tak? Ten faktyczny, nie ten szkolny, gdzie masz jakieś dziwne tam how do you do, tylko taki prawdziwy, realny, który działa. Więc zainwestowaliśmy mnóstwo energii, czasu, serca i niestety również pieniędzy w to, żeby nasza platforma Instytutu, jak również nasza apka LingoMouse świetnie działały i to wszystko masz w cenie, dlatego też kliknij w instytutlingwistyki.pl, ponieważ do końca najbliższej niedzieli, czyli do końca 2 lipca do godziny 23:59 nasze kursy masz ze zniżką. 200 przy jednym języku, a kilka stów przy większej ilości języków, dlatego też jak uczysz się 2-3 języków, albo ktoś z Twojej rodziny, tak, bo często jest tak, że ktoś uczy się angielskiego, a jego żona niemieckiego, a jego córka hiszpańskiego, to również zapraszam Cię do zdobycia takiego pakietu. Uważam, że warto. Na to wszystko masz 30 dni gwarancji satysfakcji, więc jakby ktoś uznał, że jednak to był błąd albo coś, no to zawsze może dostać 100% zwrotu bezwarunkowego. Nie ma najmniejszego problemu. A na naszej platformie masz 2 razy w tygodniu kontakt z native speakerem, z prawdziwym obcokrajowcem, z którym będziesz robić ćwiczenia poprzez WhatsAppa lub Signala i mnóstwo innych rzeczy. Tony wiedzy, nowoczesne metody, dobra zabawa, przede wszystkim pasja i skuteczność. To wszystko na instytutlingwistyki.pl. Zapraszam Cię, dołącz do nas teraz.
Witam Was serdecznie, tutaj Maciek Wieczorek i nowy odcinek Eksperta w Bentleyu. Dziś mamy gościa specjalnego, człowieka, który przyjechał do nas z Kanady, no może nie specjalnie do nas, bo zwiedza ogólnie teraz Polskę. Człowieka, który mówi w 20 językach. Będziemy dzisiaj zatem mówić o językach, a żyjemy w świecie internetu, w świecie, w którym każdy może powiedzieć wszystko, zareklamować się w dowolny sposób, więc stwierdziliśmy, że żeby to pokazać, to dzisiejsza nasza rozmowa odbędzie się w 7 różnych językach. W 7, dlatego że, no cóż, Steve dzisiaj jest ograniczony moimi możliwościami, w związku z czym w 20 rozmawiać nie będziemy. Także pogadamy w 7, więc myślę, że będzie ciekawie i dowiecie się bardzo dużo na temat tego, jak się uczyć języków, jak to działa, co nie działa. Z nami jest Steve Kaufman.
Dzień dobry.
Dzień dobry.
Dzień dobry.
To co, zaczynamy po polsku?
Po polsku.
To ja chciałem cię zapytać, co robisz w Polsce? Co tutaj robisz? Co ci się podoba takiego w Polsce?
Bardzo cieszę się, że jestem w Polsce. Miałem ciekawość o Polskę, ponieważ ja... Zaczynałem przed dużo lat uczyć języka rosyjskiego. Tak. Mm-hmm. A potem, kiedy zaczynali wojna w Donbasie, ja decydowałem, chcę uczyć języka ukraińskiego. I przed czytaniem książki, słuchanie audio książki o historii Ukrainy, znałem, że pomiędzy Ukrainą i Polską istnieje dużo historii. I miałem ciekawość pro historię Polski. Ja czytałem i słuchałem audio książki o historii Polski. Ale to 8 lat temu. A zaraz widziałem, jakim sposobem Polaki, rząd i ludzie w Polsce pomagali Ukraińców. I to było dla mnie bardzo ja szanuję postawę Polaków i decydowałem, że chcę iść na Polskę. To jest raz pierwsze dla mnie odwiedzić Polskę. I wrażenie duże pozytywne. Duże, bardzo pozytywne. Bardzo energetyczny naród. Czysto. Smaczno jedzenie i dużo historii.
No. Pierogi już.
Pierogi. Wczoraj z żoną jeździliśmy pierogi, typiczna kuchnia, ta polska kuchnia. Dużo smaczno. Z wino i z wodką.
Okej, okay. To taka jest to podróż. Okej, okay. Pienso que ahora podemos continuar en español.
Sí, por supuesto.
Okej, okay. Entonces, esa es una locura, porque aquí en Polonia tenemos una creencia que solo los niños saben cómo aprender los idiomas, que para ellos es súper fácil y para todos los otros es casi imposible. Sí. Tú tienes... 77 años.
Sí.
Y estás aprendiendo 3 idiomas al mismo tiempo, ¿sí?
Bueno, más o menos. Es que estaba aprendiendo el persiano y el árabe, Pero ahora que vengo aquí, tenía la intención de visitar a la Polonia, pues he decidido que voy a aprender polonés.
Loquísimo.
Sí.
Loquísimo y también estás viajando mucho, ¿sí?
Sí.
Por Dinamarca, por Suecia.
Por Dinamarca. Y también he escuchado y he trabajado un poco mi danés, porque el idioma, la lengua danesa es muy cerca a la lengua sueca, pero es un poco distinto, ¿no? Pero quiero decir que los niños menos de 10 años creo que es más fácil, porque ellos tienen su cabeza, es más flexible, ¿no? Pueden aprender cualquier cosa y no tienen miedo de nada, ¿no? Pero un adulto que piensa que en su idioma nativo es inteligente, no quiere aparecer menos inteligente en un otro idioma.
Exacto.
Pero pero a cualquier edad, después de, digamos, 15, 20 años, hasta como yo, 77 o más, 80, se puede aprender idiomas, si tienes ganas.
¿Y de dónde tienes estas ganas de hacerlo todo el tiempo y continuar por años?
Bueno, es una cuestión de curiosidad. Todo el aprendizaje de cualquier cosa empieza con la curiosidad. ¿No? Y yo, por ejemplo, en el caso del polonés, porque había aprendido el ucraniano y he aprendido cosas sobre la historia de Ucrania y sabía que entre Polonia y Ucrania hay, bueno, como 500 años o más, 1000 años de relaciones más o menos amables, ¿no? Y pues me interesaba, quería saber más sobre la Polonia. Para mí siempre es la historia, más que la cultura, es la historia. También por el caso del persiano, el árabe, saber más sobre el Medio Oriente y todo. Para mí es una cuestión de curiosidad.
Entonces podemos decir que si una persona quiere aprender un idioma extranjero, tiene que encontrar este punto importante para ella.
Exacto.
Este punto que será de gran interés, ¿sí?
Sí.
Que va a funcionar.
No debe ser la historia. Para la gente que quiere aprender, por ejemplo, japonés, quizás que es el anime que le interese, ¿no? O bien la cocina, o canciones, o lo que sea. O un amigo o una amiga, ¿no? Pero necesitas un punto de interés o de atracción.
Genial. Agora acho que podemos continuar em português.
Sim.
Você fala português de Portugal ou de Brasil?
Falo portunhol.
Como eu. Sí. Então, perfeito.
Então, é muito difícil, porque os dois idiomas são muito parecidos. Então, quando falo português, entendo tudo, mas de vez em quando vou usar palavras de italiano, de espanhol, pero en el aprendizaje de lenguas, lo más importante es la comunicación. Ainda que voy a usar palabras de español y italiano, las personas entienden. Y yo puedo comunicar con esas personas, ainda usando cosas de español y de italiano, porque yo no soy perfeccionista.
Okay. Eso es muy, muy importante, especialmente aquí en Polonia, donde durante todos esos años de escuela estamos aprendiendo que ser perfecto es una cosa, una única cosa que vale, que conta. E depois, quando a maioria das pessoas tem medo de falar, porque tem medo de cometer os erros, então a minha pergunta é se isso é possível, falar se errou, se isso não é possível, como falar com erros, mas aceitá-lo?
Tem que aceitar a incerteza em todas as coisas. Vai esquecer, vai não poder encontrar ou achar as palavras que necessitas. Então, temos que passar através esse período de incerteza, mas pouco a pouco vai falar melhor. E é importante ter a confiança de se você continua, vá pouco a pouco falar melhor. Não vá falar peijo, vá falar melhor. Então, nesta viagem, os erros não têm importância. Porque se você pensa, que acha que vá finalmente poder falar melhor e melhor, é só uma questão de tempo. Tem que continuar.
Ok, perfeito. Então, quando uma pessoa quer aprender um idioma estrangeiro, vai encontrar muitos métodos por internet, em YouTube, em blogs, etc. Tem muitas possibilidades, e isso é genial, mas isso também é problemático, porque então as pessoas não sabem que exatamente qual método usar. Uma pessoa diz, você tem que escutar todo o tempo. Outros dizem, não, gramática é uma coisa mais importante. Outros dizem que, não, falar desde um dia número um, isso é importante. Você acha que existe um método perfeito para todos, ou todas as pessoas têm que pesquisar o seu método perfeito?
A um certo ponto, as pessoas têm que buscar. Anyway, encontrar seu método para si mesmo, não? Mas acredito que toda a aprendizagem de línguas passa para o que se chama em inglês input. Você não tem a língua entre si mesmo, não? Tem que a língua entra da fora, da input, das pessoas que falam, que escrevem. Então, tem que ler e escutar muito, muito, muito. Se você tem a possibilidade de falar cada dia, todo o dia, bom, é uma situação muito favorável. Não, mas não é possível. La maioria dos casos, a gente, as pessoas estão aprendendo a casa. Então, você pode preparar-se para falar mais através da leitura e a escuta. E a gramática, não quer dizer que não é importante falar corretamente. Todos nós queremos falar corretamente, mas não é possível através da gramática, essa vontade de perfeição, vontade de metrizar, como se de usar as formas corretas da língua. Esse impede a aprendizagem. Tem que continuar a escutar, ler, falar e crer que pouco a pouco se vai melhorar.
Perfeito. Ok. Allora penso che possiamo continuare in italiano.
Sì, possibilmente.
C'è troppo per il mio cervello.
Anche per me. Anche per me.
Questo è pazzesco. Ma lo facciamo, perché no? Allora, tu nei tuoi video frequentemente dici che la cosa molto importante sono le parole, sapere tante parole come sia possibile, perché questo è una cosa che possiamo numerare, contare, controllare, e per questo è il tema principale anche della tua piattaforma, LinkQ. Allora, la mia domanda è che metodi possiamo utilizzare per comprendere tutte queste parole, per memorizzare tutto questo, perché ogni lingua ha più tanta di, non so, ma penso che 500.000 parole. È pazzesco. Allora, che cosa esattamente possiamo fare?
Adesso abbiamo delle applicazioni come le MP3, che è molto facile, sempre avere delle come si dice, files, audios, ascoltare. Possiamo leggere sull'internet, utilizzare dizionari sull'internet con un click, molto molto pronto sapere la significativa delle parole, perché è certo che dimenticheremo tutto che vogliamo apprendere, è certo che vamo a dimenticare. E dunque bisogna continuare a leggere, continuare a utilizzare, come è mia piattaforma, è un dizionario che possiamo dove possiamo cercare la significazione molto rapido per dopo dimenticare. Altra volta cercare, altra volta dimenticare. Dunque, più importante adesso, Mike, head is completely confused. È molto importante che contenuti che usiamo, contenuti per a leggere, a ascoltare, che ci sono delle cose di interesse. E dunque non avete l'impressione di apprendere la lingua, no. Possiamo leggere e ascoltare delle cose di interesse sul qualcosa, sulle sport, sulla cucina, sulla storia. La lingua va a entrare, l'idioma va a entrare sul cerebro, no? E dunque questo è un punto molto importante per me.
Allora, una persona che per esempio non è interessata nella storia del paese ha bisogno di cercare qualcosa di altro, sì?
Sì, e anche io, per esempio, per il polonese, e adesso posso leggere delle libri in polonese senza il dizionario online. Però,
e non è un libro facile?
Non è difficile.
Chopin.
Perché anche ho con me sempre, vuol fare referenze alla grammatica. Quando ho la curiosità per sapere perché può cercare nel libro non vuol cominciare con la grammatica, vuol cercare delle cose sulla grammatica dopo, ok? Ma posso leggere adesso, ma all'inizio non era possibile per me leggere un libro così. Necessario leggere sull'internet per poter cercare tutte queste parole sul dizionario, nel mio sito. Adesso, per esempio, in link ho un vocabolario passivo, 40.000 parole. No. Evidentemente nelle lingue slaviche ci sono molte forme della stessa parola,
esatto.
Dunque 40.000 parole in polonese forse è come 20.000 parole in altra lingua, ma in ogni caso adesso in ogni pagina ci sono poche parole che non conosco. Dunque, come in tutte le lingue che parlo, no? ho una capacità, un livello di comprensione molto più grande che mia capacità di parlare. Ma adesso, se io vo in Italia, vivere in Polonia due mesi, perché ho questo livello di comprensione e ho molte parole parole che vuole comprendere, capire tutto. Quelli polonesi o l'italiano mi dicono, e poco a poco mi capacità di parlare se va migliorandosi. E se per me, dunque, il vocabolario passivo è molto molto importante, perché se tu non capisci l'altro, l'altro, no, la persona con quale stai conversando, non è possibile avere una conversazione, e attraverso le conversazioni si può migliorarsi.
Tu ricomanderebbe utilizzare qualche metodi come le associazioni per memorizzare le parole, o semplicemente leggere e lasciarlo tutto al processo automatico?
Per me, lasciare al processo automatico. Non ho la pazienza di fare tutte queste corrispondenze, no? Ho l'impressione, la volontà di controllare le parole, di apprendere, vuoi apprendere queste parole, è una non funziona, no? Perché bisogniamo incontrare le stesse parole molte volte in contesti differenti, no? Para poco a poco, e non possiamo controllare il cervello. Il cervello, come si dice?
Cervello.
Non possiamo controllare. Il cervello va a prendere quando vuole. Quando vuole. Sì. Ci sono delle parole molto difficili che il cervello va a prendere subito, e altri molto comune, parole basiche, e il cervello va sempre a dimenticare. Dunque, per me la volontà di fare delle connessioni, del space repetition system, tutto questo è in troppa complicazione, e non è divertente, no, non è piacevole. Molto più piacevole leggere sulla storia, per me è interessante, pure l'altro sarebbe sport o cucina o whatever, è molto più piacevole, e dunque le persone vanno a continuare. Continuare. Se il viaggio attraverso la lingua, il processo di apprendimento è piacevole, continueremo. E se non è piacevole, se è un sforzo, che voglio apprendere queste parole, molte persone vanno a abbandonare.
Ok. Ich denke, dass jetzt wir könnten mit dem Deutsch fortfahren.
Ich werde versuchen.
Aber das ist ganz zu viel jetzt.
Ja.
Aber wir müssen es machen. Und jetzt. Du denkst, dass, oder wie könnten wir immer diese Motivation zu haben, ja, zu mit dieser Motivation zu fortsetzen, zum Beispiel, wenn du lernst Polnisch oder andere Sprache, das sehr schwierig ist, und es ist nicht so naturell für uns, zum Beispiel Tschechisch ist sehr einfach, aber Deutsch ist sehr kompliziert,
ja.
Und deshalb wir...
Nicht so kompliziert wie Polnisch, anyway.
Okay. Ja. Und deshalb es ist so einfach, diese Motivation zu verlieren. Und wann könnten wir dann machen?
Also es gibt verschiedene Motivationen. Es gibt Leute zum Beispiel hier, vielleicht in Polen, die wollen Englisch lernen oder Deutsch lernen, weil das mit der Arbeit hat zu tun. Nicht? Es gibt viele Möglichkeiten.
Das ist eine schlechte Information.
Besser Arbeit zu finden. Aber auch diese Leute, die lernen, sie haben fast eine Obligation, die Sprachen zu lernen für die Arbeit. Ne? Aber diese Leute auch, wenn sie können etwas interessant finden, oder das kann auch ein Freund oder Freundin sein, aber auch ein Interesse für Kuchen oder was, Geschichte. Aber ich glaube auch, man muss Es gibt eine Rede in Französisch, l'appétit vient en mangeant. Also, wenn man isst, dann kommt der Appetit, ne? Der Appetit. Und man muss am Anfang sich zwingen ein bisschen. Und wenn man findet, dass, ja, ich habe etwas gelernt, jetzt kann ich etwas auf Deutsch sagen, oder ich habe etwas, die ich vorher nicht verstanden, jetzt verstehe ich das. Diese ist sehr positiv für seine Motivation. Man muss also diese Success haben, also Erfolg haben. Und, aber man muss auch eine Chance geben. So, man muss am Anfang ein bisschen zwingen, manchmal, okay? Und am Anfang ist es schwierig. Ich verstehe, ich habe zum Beispiel Farsi begonnen. Und am Anfang, ich verstehe absolut nichts und kann auch nicht lesen. Aber man muss glauben, wenn ich fortsetze, dann werde ich am Ende, ich werde diese Sprache verstehen und auch sprechen mögen, okay? Und das war das Beispiel für Russisch, für Polnisch, für ich weiß nicht, Chinesisch, also alle Sprachen. Man muss nur fortsetzen.
Und du denkst, dass für eine neue Sprache zu lernen, es ist wichtig, im Ausland gehen, oder es ist, weil zum Beispiel für mich, es ist einfacher, eine Fremdsprache zu lernen nach meinem Hause, weil wenn ich besuche andere Länder und sie hören, dass meine Sprache ist nicht perfekt, sie immer mit der Englisch starten, natürlich. Und das zerstört mich.
Natürlich. Und das ist auch mein Beispiel hier in Polen. Okay. Deswegen glaube ich, man muss sehr viel arbeiten zu Hause, ein gutes Niveau haben. Wenn, also mein Niveau auf Polnisch ist nicht genug gut. Also es gibt Leute hier, die nicht Englisch sprechen. Und sie werden mir auf Polnisch verantworten. Aber die im Restaurant oder im Hotel, sie haben gut Niveau Englisch, sie werden sofort auf Englisch antworten. Aber wenn ich hatte einmal dieselbe Erfahrung, also am ersten Mal in Portugal war. Ich hatte mein Niveau Portugiesisch war nicht genug gut und die Leute haben immer auf Englisch geantwortet. Aber die zweite Mal, ich hatte ein besseres Niveau auf Portugiesisch und die Leute haben mit mir Portugiesisch gesprochen. Weil die meisten Leute, sie wollen nur kommunizieren. Sie sind nicht deine Lehrer. Okay? Die sind Leute, gewöhnliche, normale Leute. Sie wollen nur kommunizieren. Und wenn ihr Niveau auf Englisch ist besser als mein Niveau auf Polnisch, dann werden die meistens auf englische Antworten. So, ich glaube, es gibt viele Möglichkeiten heute. Wir haben Internet, wir haben Möglichkeiten, so viele Dinge auf Netflix, Podcast, alle möglichen Dinge zu sehr viel zu hören und lesen und Wörter speichern so, dass wenn man dieses Land Es ist besser. Also ich habe lange Zeit Tschechisch gelernt und dann war ich in Prag und dann, das war auch eine Motivation für mich. Ich werde nach Prag gehen. Okay, ich muss mein Niveau auf Tschechisch verbessern. Dann, wenn ich in Prag war, ich hatte diese Möglichkeit, sehr viel also auf Tschechisch zu sprechen. So, man muss eine Strategie haben. Man kann nicht nur ich fahre nach Polen, aber sowieso, es gibt auch Leute, die mit mir auf Polnisch sprechen. Aber wenn ich ein besseres Niveau hätte, das wäre noch besser. Und ich werde noch besser also Fortschritt machen.
Das ist sehr, sehr gut. Und ich denke, dass wir sind jetzt sehr motiviert. Alors.
Oui.
Nous pouvons continuer en français.
Oui.
Quand nous voulons parler les langues, nous devons parler les langues.
Bien sûr.
Mais aussi, il y a beaucoup d'autres méthodes, comment l'input comme principal. Oui. Et toutes les autres, nous avons nous préparé. Alors, quand est ce moment parfait pour commencer de parler avec les autres parce que probablement ce n'est pas le premier jour parce que ça serait un peu trop stressant. Alors, quand nous sommes préparés pour parler?
Ben, moi, j'aime pas tellement avoir une conversation avec quelqu'un parce qu'aujourd'hui, on peut trouver sur l'Internet des personnes avec lesquelles on peut parler. Mm-hmm. Mais je ne veux pas avoir une conversation si je ne comprends pas ce que dit l'autre. Donc, mm-hmm. il me faut un niveau de vocabulaire. Dans le cas de mon application, je trouve qu'en 3000 mots, 5000 mots, c'est à peu mm-hmm. près à ce moment-là que je commence à parler. Parce que il faut dire que pour bien parler, il faut beaucoup parler. Ok. Mm-hmm. Ce n'est pas assez de beaucoup écouter et de beaucoup lire. Par exemple, mon polonais, j'ai beaucoup lu, j'ai beaucoup écouté. Et aujourd'hui, c'est la deuxième ou troisième conversation que j'ai en polonais. Donc, si j'avais la possibilité de beaucoup parler polonais ou n'importe quelle langue, ben là, je vais commencer à parler mieux et mieux. Mais je n'ai pas peur de parler. Mm-hmm. Je n'ai pas peur de parler. Mais je ne veux pas commencer trop tôt. Et quand le moment de commencer, ça dépend. Quand j'ai vécu au Japon, là, dès le premier jour, tout ce que je savais, j'ai essayé de l'utiliser parce que j'étais entouré de Japonais. Mais à Vancouver, au Canada, avec le polonais, avec qui je vais parler polonais, donc je passe mon temps plus tôt parce que c'est facile à organiser. J'écoute le matin, je me lève, je prépare le petit déjeuner, j'écoute le polonais, j'écoute l'histoire, Ludowa Historia Polski, ok? Et j'apprends des choses. Et il y a un tas de choses que j'ai pas compris. Puis ensuite, je vais lire les mêmes, donc le même texte, je vais lire, je vais sauvegarder des mots. Mais là, je me prépare. Mais éventuellement, si on est bien sûr, donc c'est deux cas, soit tu vis entouré de gens qui parlent cette langue, alors là, tu l'utilises à chaque moment, sans peur. Mm-hmm. Ou bien, tu es loin du pays où la langue est parlée. Alors là, il faut se préparer. Donc, il faut surtout faire croître ton vocabulaire. Mm-hmm. Et avec l'intention de visiter le pays, si possible. C'est pas possible pour tout le monde. Mais dans mon cas, je savais que j'allais en Pologne. Donc, chaque jour, j'écoutais, je lisais en polonais.
Mm-hmm. Alors, je pense que il y a cette changement de génération que sa nouvelle génération a beaucoup de peur. Comment ils sentent beaucoup de ces émotions. On veut de simplement faire les choses.
Oui. Je ne sais pas si c'est une question de génération. Mm-hmm. Je crois que bon. Quelqu'un qui a 10 ans, un jeune de 10 ans, il n'a pas peur, mm-hmm. il n'a pas d'inhibition, il trouve ses amis, il communique mm-hmm. n'importe comment.
Alors, c'est la faute de l'école.
Non. Je crois que plus on est vieux, plus nos cerveaux commencent à devenir un peu plus raides, un peu durs. Je crois que cette question de perfectionnisme, ce n'est pas une question de génération. C'est une question. Ça peut être la faute des écoles. Pourquoi? Parce que à l'école, on nous donne des tests. Mm-hmm. C'est quoi les tests? On veut des résultats. Moi, je suis l'enseignant. J'ai enseigné ceci. Maintenant, je vais te tester là-dessus. Et c'est un peu pour. On a hâte d'avoir des résultats. Vite. Mais c'est pas ça les langues. Les langues s'apprennent doucement, tranquillement, lentement, et on peut pas contrôler ce dont on va se rappeler, ce qu'on va pouvoir apprendre maintenant, dans 6 mois, dans 12 mois. C'est pas contrôlable. Alors la seule chose qu'on peut contrôler, c'est notre niveau d'activité. Donc même dans les écoles, ils devraient mettre l'accent sur l'activité des apprenants. Comment les inciter à passer du temps avec la langue? N'importe comment. Lisant, écoutant des chansons, parlant, n'importe quoi. C'est l'activité qui compte. Il y a quelques-uns qui vont peut-être prononcer mieux. D'autres vont avoir un meilleur vocabulaire. Et tout ça, il y aura des différences. Mmh. Mais l'activité, c'est la chose qu'on peut contrôler. Mmh. Moi, j'apprends, disons, le polonais, ben, je vais passer une heure et demie par jour l'activité. Mais je ne peux contrôler ma capacité d'apprendre, avec quelle vitesse je vais apprendre, mmh. Combien de mots je vais apprendre, je peux pas contrôler. Mmh. Mais je peux contrôler mon temps, mon mmh. activité.
Alors, c'est la question de l'acceptance de la réalité, oui.
Oui.
C'est génial. C'est génial, c'est aussi simple, mais je pense que c'est aussi important. Okay, so we've started with my language, so we're gonna finish with yours.
It makes it a lot easier for me, yeah? Anyway.
Okay, I guess, do you think that this acceptance of errors that we've been talking about here comes with time, with practice? Because as I've said you before, right, we started this interview, I've last 3 nights preparing for our, okay, maybe not preparing, but yeah, because yeah, I felt prepared enough, but
right,
but thinking about it,
yeah,
because it was so stressful that like 100,000 people will hear me speaking 7 languages,
okay, and
there's no escape, yeah, like
right,
if I've decided to do it, then I'm gonna do it, and whatever is gonna be the result, yeah, even
same
if
here,
I make 1,000 errors, then why not?
Yes.
And I even thought that you would say something like, you know, let's just do it in English, but you were pretty quick to accept the fact that we're gonna speak various languages here, so it didn't help. There was no escape. So do you think it comes with time that I'm gonna come there, I'm gonna speak, I'm gonna just give this interview in a couple of languages and they will hear maybe some mistakes and whatever, I don't care, I'm just having fun here, because that's the level where I wanna be, yeah, like everyone wants to be there, you know, like, yeah, having fun with it, not thinking about perfection and all the stuff.
You know, the fact is everyone wants to speak better, okay? Mm-hmm. I think it's unrealistic to expect to speak perfectly. Mm-hmm. Like some people say, I sound like a native. Well, no. Very, very few people sound like a native. Mm-hmm. Like practically zero. So that's not a realistic... That can be your goal. That's fine. I would like to play tennis like Roger Federer. Mm-hmm. But it's not realistic. I'm not going to play like Roger Federer. So we have to be realistic. Making mistakes and forgetting things is part of the process. And in fact, and I've had the experience, even being corrected doesn't mean I stop making the same mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Again, on Link, I have sessions with a tutor. Tutor writes all my mistakes down, or like the correct form. Mm-hmm. And I see week after week, I make the same mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a slow process. It's a process of making mistakes. And if we continue, we will slowly, slowly get better. And I think the willingness to accept mistakes, to accept that we forget. And this is another thing. When we forget, that is actually a good thing. Because forgetting and relearning and forgetting and relearning is actually helping to solidify that knowledge in your brain. This is based on neurological research. We have to forget. And we have in our brain vast amounts of knowledge, words that we have learned. Even if we can't retrieve those words, they are in our memory reserve. And slowly these will start to, you know, activate.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that we make mistakes or we forget things or even structures in the language, you know, we say it wrong, typically influenced by our own language. And even that is not a problem. I have done business, you know, over 40 years. Most of my career was in the wood business, in the international trade of forest products. I've spoken to people who speak English very well, Swedes, Germans. And inevitably, there are expressions there that reflect usage in their language.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you what they are for Germans, for French, for Swedes, for Japanese. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. We are communicating. And the whole thing about speaking foreign languages is the fun, the enjoyment, the adventure of communicating in another language. And it's almost like make-believe. You know, in a way, my own language is reality, and every language, every other language that I speak is this this adventure in another language, in another culture, and then the ability to read things in that language. Every time I pick up, now that I pick up a Polish book and I read and I understand what's written there, it's a tremendous sense of satisfaction. The fact that when I speak Polish, I make a lot of mistakes doesn't take away from the enjoyment of this language adventure, you know? So I think you have to look at the total picture. And unfortunately, I think the school system is to blame because they test us all the time. Mm-hmm. And so you got 6 out of 10 or 8 out of 10. And if I don't get 10 out of 10, there's something wrong with me. But in fact, no, 5 out of 10 is fine.
Mm-hmm. So if we make mistakes, we're not losers, but we're winners because we're trying to do something and we're trying to improve. That's great. Great. So right now I'd like to ask you about time management because, well, I guess not everyone or probably almost no one wants to learn 20 languages.
Right.
Probably I'm the only one here who also aspires for that. But it's pretty difficult to juggle so many tasks. Yeah. In your case, those are languages, like 17 languages that you've learned before and then trying to learn 3 new ones. I also juggle a lot of stuff, maintaining those 8 that I speak and in the meantime learning 3 new. And I would like to learn 10 new at the same time, but then have to keep myself from doing that. And in the meantime, we also have lives. Yeah. Languages are not our only things that we take care of. So we've got families and other passions and so on. And our viewers have their job and things to do. So even if they learn only 1 or 2 languages, they have a lot on their plate. So how to manage it all, how to be effective and to get results in order, because I guess maybe I would only add it.
Sure.
Because I guess the worst part is to just pause for 6 months, because I guess then we have to start all over again.
Okay. So first of all, in terms of activities during the day, by far the easiest thing to do is to listen. So I have on my iPhone, you know, a library of content in so many different languages that, you know, 20 years ago, a university language lab would not have a fraction of what I am able to carry around with me on my iPhone. So I can listen to whatever I want. This morning I went for a walk around 7:30. So I'm listening to my Polish, and I said, you know, maybe I should give Czech a try. I've been away from Czech. So I was listening to Czech. I could put on Romanian. I could put anything. I carry it with me. So listening is the easiest thing to do. Mm-hmm. When you listen, there are things you don't understand. You're curious, and then you want to read, because reading, you can then look up the words. So that's first of all, in terms of finding the time, listening is the key. Listening is the trigger. Listening pulls you into the language because it's very easy to do. The second thing is organizing the time. I have said that, you know, as language learners, we have to accept uncertainty. So I do not spend any time maintaining the languages that I have learned before. There are some languages, say my best 10 languages, I'm not going to forget them. I can turn them on now and speak. There are another 10 languages that, like Czech, for example, I can't speak. It would take me a few hours and I could refresh it. I don't worry about it. When I need them, if I'm going to go to Prague, I will refresh my Czech. And when it comes back, it will come back stronger than ever, because things that we relearn, we learn them better. And so in the case of Polish, 2015, after the, you know, the events in Donbass and stuff, and I was reading and listening to the history of Ukraine, and I discovered the relationship between Poland and Ukraine. I said, I want to learn Polish. So I spent 3 months on Polish in 2015. And on my, you know, on link in my application, I can see the history because we track it. I can see the stats. 3 months, I learned Polish. Then I didn't touch Polish since 2015. And now, in preparation for my trip here, I spent 2 months on Polish. I am better now than I was then. So there is no danger that you're going to lose it. You will slip back, but everything you have learned is there. The enjoyment you had, say you spent 1 month, 3 months, 6 months enjoying learning that language, and then you leave it, it's there. And when you go to rediscover, it's like hooking up with an old friend after a long absence, and it just comes right back. So I don't worry about it. I don't try to maintain all these. You can't possibly. Mm-hmm. There's not. I can't be learning new languages and worrying about the languages that I learned before.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot.
Yeah.
Just accept it.
And while you were speaking about 3 months or 2 months with Polish, a question came to my mind. Should we start aggressively? Nowadays everything tends to be to seem easier and easier. We're gonna teach you in 2 weeks,
right,
and you know everything. While it's, as you've said, it's a slow process. And there is also something that one guy on YouTube called language gravity. Yeah, like if you start too small, then you always gravitate towards your native language or your foreign, but the language that you know. For example, if I start with Norwegian, then I tend to escape from that. If it's not too aggressive, like 1 hour or 2 hours of Norwegian per day, then I tend to watch Spanish videos on YouTube or listen to French audiobooks, because the gravity comes and takes me to the things that I already know and that are easier without all this tough without those shortcomings of of a new thing. So do you think we should start with 10 minutes per day, or maybe later we're gonna diminish to that number, but in the beginning we should rather attack it aggressively to know as to learn as fast as possible?
Okay, so there's two things there. First of all, of course we're going to be attracted to things that are easier and more enjoyable. Mm-hmm. So for you, it's probably easier to listen to an audiobook in French than to listen to one in Norwegian. Mm-hmm. So if your goal is to do something enjoyable, you may end up going to the languages that you know you can enjoy. But when we're learning languages, we are kind of, we have a certain motivation to learn this new language. And so I think that's easily overcome, the temptation to go back to the easier things. I don't see that as a big danger. But when I start a new language, I know that I have to, so again, at Link, we have these mini stories with a lot of repetition. Each story repeats the same vocabulary 5 times. And so you have to work with content that's relatively easy. And unlike most starter books, like Teach Yourself, Living Language, I don't know what the equivalents are here in Poland, sort of books that get you started, right? They don't have enough repetition. They go to the train station, the post office, the doctor's office, and they don't repeat the same vocabulary. You need to have a lot of repetition at the beginning. So I will listen 10, 20, 30 times to the same story. Yeah. Not at one sitting. I listen story 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, back to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But I end up listening a lot. And actually, the early part of learning a language is almost, in some ways, the easiest. Because it's all new to you. You understand nothing. And all of a sudden, you understand something. So there's a great sense of satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that in all languages, the word frequency declines very, very quickly. So that the very, you know, frequent people often say, well, I only need, if I should focus on get a list of the most common 500 words. You're going to get those 500 words. Mm-hmm. They show up all the time. And they're not enough to have a conversation, despite what some people say. It's not enough. So you have this high frequency, you're seeing the words often, high frequency words, you have a sense of achievement. Then starts the difficult period, because there are so many relatively low frequency words that we need to know.
Yeah.
And so then we need to listen a lot and read a lot. And that's where it becomes important to find stuff that's interesting. Could be a podcast, could be an audiobook, could be a TV program, could be a movie. But you have to find things that are interesting, so that now, rather than focusing on, you know, this repetition of basic words and basic structures, you're now motivated by your interest in the subject. And so then that keeps you going through this more difficult period. So to me, I see it as two, possibly 3 stages. The initial stage is lots of repetitive listening, and but still I always have this hour, hour and a half a day. That's, I don't go 6 hours, you know. And then your goal is to get to where you can watch a movie and understand half of it. But somewhere in between now, there are so many people putting out content, even in Polish, I found it, you know, YouTube material that's not difficult. There's a motivational speaker, a Polish woman. We have her in Link. I don't remember her name, but all the sort of motivational stuff uses relatively easy vocabulary, mm-hmm. right? Much easier than a formal book, for example. But it's still interesting. So you progress. So I think lots of repetition up front, gradually moving to sort of more accessible material, maybe podcasts, self-help stuff, and then moving into maybe things of greater interest to you. Mm-hmm. That's the way I see it.
And do you have to look up all doors? I mean, if you read a book in Polish about Chopin, for right. example, and you encounter some words that you don't know of, then you look them all up, or maybe you use some method, some Occam's razor here, like I'm going to check only three words per page or something like this.
No. So until when I'm reading a book like this, I don't look up anything. Okay? Uh-huh. Whatever I understand. See, it doesn't bother me to understand 70%. Mm-hmm. I still have this enjoyment. I'm back in Warsaw he was in Vienna, then he was in Warsaw in 1830. Mm-hmm. I'm reading about it in Polish. I understand 70%. I'm happy. Mm-hmm. Typically, though, I would go to Publio Krapka PR. Mm-hmm. I would buy audiobook, ebook, matching. Mm-hmm. So then I can, with one click, import the ebook into Link. Mm-hmm. I listen to the audiobook on their application. So I go to Publio, I listen on Publio, and then I go to Link where I have imported the ebook. And so there I go through it and I'm looking up words. But unfortunately, I found this in a bookstore. I haven't found the ebook, so I'm stuck. I would prefer to have this in an ebook version so I could import it into Link and look up every word. Because mm-hmm. if I'm in Link, if I'm online, I like to look up every word in the knowledge that I will forget it. I don't try to, you know, think too hard, just look it up. Mm-hmm. And it'll show up again and again and again in a different color in the case of Link. And that's what I do. But there's something about a paper book, right? Mm-hmm. It's nice to hold on to a book, so I don't want to always be reading on my iPad. So, but if I had this ebook, I would read it on the ebook, look up the words, and then I would go through here and I would understand more. But even if I understand 70%, mm-hmm. it's good enough for me. Because I think to be a good language learner, it all comes back to this. You have to accept uncertainty. You don't fully understand. Mm-hmm. You can't remember. You make mistakes. It's all part of language learning.
Mm-hmm. And for example, if you learn a language that has a different alphabet, because you also learned Russian, Ukrainian, Japanese, Mandarin Chinese, these languages could be pretty problematic because it's not as easy to look words up. Yeah, because of course we can install some keyboards
right.
and so on, but they are very tough to use. So how do we handle that situation? If you've had this book in Japanese
right.
and or Farsi, for example, right. then how are you going to look those words?
Well, I typically only use Link, so I just click mm-hmm. on the word. I click on the word, it goes into my database, I can review mm-hmm. it, I have statistics. That's my learning environment, so it's not an issue for me. When I was learning Chinese 50 years ago, I would not look anything up in a traditional dictionary because it's too much work. Mm-hmm. You know, in those days, the way you looked up a Chinese character was you had to count the strokes. So characters with 10 strokes, 12 strokes, 4, they were all grouped together. Well, you could count it wrong. You think it's 12, it's actually 13 strokes. You can't find the word. You spent 5 minutes looking for the word. And unfortunately, if you look something up in a dictionary, as soon as you close the dictionary, in most cases, you've forgotten mm-hmm. what was there. Yeah. Gone. So to spend a lot of time looking something up is a waste of time. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, we have online dictionaries. You click on the word, you have the meaning. But better still, say in the case of Link, save it to a database because you want to be able to go back in there and review it. If you just look it up, it's gone. Mm-hmm. So, that's basically the method. And the issue, of course, with different writing systems, it's difficult. It's difficult to write. Writing is the most difficult thing. And certainly to write by hand. I don't write by hand. I can't. I lived in Japan for 9 years. I did business in Japanese. Absolutely no problem. I can read the newspaper. But I write by hand, I couldn't possibly. Mm-hmm. Even in the Cyrillic, I can't write by hand. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, you don't really need to. And I can dictate into my iPhone in Russian, in Japanese, in Chinese, I dictate, and it comes out. And then I said, no, not that one. I wanted this one. And as you know, if you use dictation on your iPhone. Yeah. So it's really not an issue. But languages with different writing systems are much more difficult to learn. Because all of our lives, whether an English speaker or a Polish speaker, all of our lives, we have read in the Latin alphabet. So our brain are like totally used to that. So even though the Cyrillic alphabet is not difficult, but it's just a little more difficult. It's a little more difficult because it's not what we're used to. Not to mention Arabic or Chinese.
Okay, so that was great. And languages open the world for us. And we can encounter and meet a lot of people, a lot of cultures, see the differences. So my question is, do you see a huge difference between, for example, Polish culture and Canadian? Like, because we know, I don't know if we know, but we think here in Poland that, for example, in the United States, people avoid languages because English is enough for them. I don't know if it applies also for Canada.
Right.
But do you see the difference like this, for example? Because in Poland, everyone knows that if you don't speak English, then your life is going to be harder.
Yeah. I mean, I think there is a difference between English speakers and speakers of other languages. For better or for worse, English is the international language. If I'm on a plane and there's a Japanese person here and a Brazilian person there, we're going to speak English, right? It's it's very convenient. Yeah. But it's a disadvantage for English speakers because it means less motivation. Most people are not like me or you. Most people say, I'm interested in, you know, some language. Most people are like, what do I need today to put bread on the table? And the fact is that the English speakers don't need the other languages. However, at least in Canada, we have two languages. Even in Vancouver, where there aren't many French speakers, there must be several hundred thousand kids that go to school in French. So my grandchildren went to school in French. So at that level, the parents say, I want my kids to go to school in French.
Okay.
But by and large, and there are, I mean, I attended the Polyglot Conference in Montreal, and there were people there from all over North America, and they were all speaking 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 languages. So there are polyglots. But, I mean, what's lovely in Europe for me is I go to Denmark, they speak Danish. I go to Sweden, next door, they speak Swedish. I come to Poland, they speak Polish. If I go across the border here to Czech Republic or to Ukraine, they speak a different language. I can go to, on holidays in Spain or Italy. So, yeah, there's a greater necessity, but also a greater opportunity. And therefore, the attitude towards language learning here is more positive. If we talk about culture in a more general sense, people's lifestyles, of course there are differences in every country. There's differences between Canada and the U.S., for that matter. We don't, no one has a gun in Canada, for starters, okay? We're not into the gun culture. Even if you take Poland and Czechoslovakia, the Czech Republic is the least religious country in Europe. Poland is one of the more religious countries in Europe. So there are all these differences between countries, food and stuff like that. And that also is what makes it interesting to learn different languages. Spain has a different culture from Poland, from Germany, from, you know. So yeah, cultures can vary, and that's part of the attraction of learning languages. If everybody had the same culture, the same language, the same food, the same songs, it wouldn't be so interesting.
Do you think that it changes a person, the learner? Like, for that matter, for example, when I visit Spain, I start speaking Spanish and so on, I feel that I am getting more extrovert. Sometimes I approach people in the streets, which I never do here, because it's not natural for my Polish identity.
Right.
So sometimes I feel that every single language adds more identities, and like I feel schizophrenic, you know, like I've got a couple of myselves. Do you think that it works this way?
I absolutely agree with you. And what I liked in what you said was that it adds something. It doesn't replace. It doesn't replace. It adds a sort of a dimension, which actually influences you a bit, even in your Polish persona, I found. Because when we learn another language, we are imitating an aspect of the culture of that language. Because the language is part of the culture. And we have to try to imitate that language. So we are, in a way, imitating. There's no way. If I speak Japanese, okay, first of all, when I learn a language, so I want to be them. So I'm going to be imitating them. So I want to be like them. You have to have this desire to be part of that culture. So obviously you are going to start imitating other aspects of their culture. And that does influence you even in your own culture. So we kind of expand a little bit. We expand. We learn more. But it doesn't change fundamentally who we are. I don't think it changes. But it's a little more superficially other things that start happening. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, that's perfect. So, yeah, I'd like to talk to you for hours, but you've got things to do.
Yep.
So the last question, which is typical to this show, one thing or service that costs you only up to $100, but it changed your life for the better, something that was pretty valuable, although the price wasn't high.
Okay, so I thought about that. Like, there are books that have influenced me. For example, Richard Dawkins' book on evolution, you know, The Selfish Gene, which explains the world in a way that I had no understanding of before. I've had people tell me that my videos and Link have changed their lives. Like, the number of people who say, thank you, you changed my life. Okay, but I think learning a language changes your life. So it doesn't matter where you spend that $100. But today, you don't have to go spend thousands of dollars. You don't have to go attend a college or something. Yeah. There's so many ways you can subscribe to a podcast service or anything related to language. And if you, in addition to your $100, you also invest enthusiasm, that can change your life. So that's kind of, but in my own case, I mean, I've always been interested in languages. I can't think of a specific $100 that I spent anywhere, but there are books, and I can't remember them all, that influence me. But I would leave it that, learn a language. It'll change your life.
Great. Great. So thanks a lot, and I've got a couple of gifts for you.
Oh my goodness.
One is in Polish.
Okay. Thank you.
Practice in Polish. Halo, halo. Przypominam, że tylko do końca niedzieli 2 lipca, czyli do godziny 23:59 możesz wejść na institutlingwistyki.pl albo kliknąć linka pod nagraniem i zdobyć jeden z 10 naszych kursów językowych 200 zł taniej, albo kilka, jeżeli chcesz uczyć się kilku języków. Niezależnie od twojego poziomu językowego, czy jesteś początkujący, średnio zaawansowany, czy zaawansowany, nasze kursy będą dla ciebie nie lada gratką, ponieważ masz tam dostęp do platformy, która krok po kroku prowadzi cię przez naukę języka obcego. Oprócz tego masz regularny kontakt z native speakerami, czyli z obcokrajowcami. Oprócz tego masz naszą aplikację Lingomouse, gdzie masz nagrania audio i wideo obcokrajowców i mnóstwo innych rzeczy. To wszystko w 30-dniowej gwarancji satysfakcji, więc jakby ktoś uznał, że jednak nie potrzebuje takiego kursu, to zawsze może go zwrócić, nie ma najmniejszego problemu, ale jestem przekonany, że jednak jak zobaczysz, jak wiele fajnego materiału dla ciebie przygotowaliśmy i jak fajnie i szybko możesz się nauczyć z tym języka, to będziesz bardzo zadowolony bądź zadowolona. Dlatego też kliknij w instytutlingwistyki.pl i rzutem na taśmę dołącz do naszej platformy ze zniżką. Do zobaczenia za chwilę na platformie. Another one is in English.
Okay.
So if you've got some small members of your family, then they could read it and learn how to save money.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Which is, I guess, a pretty important skill nowadays, and not frequently promoted. And another thing. Okay.
Expert.
Now you're an expert. I hope that it will fit into your luggage.
Okay, definitely.
If not, then we're going to send it.
Well, I'm not sure what I'm an expert in.
Well, you only speak 20 languages. It's pretty.
Okay, but I will find a place.
Normal thing to do.
Put this on my Very good.
I wish you a great stay here in Poland.
Thank you.
And thanks a lot in the name of all our viewers who are interested in languages, and especially in the name of those who weren't interested in languages, but right now they feel it. They feel this urge that I guess we have in our hearts, that we just have to do it. It's great. We should all do it. I
thank you, and I appreciate, you know, meeting a kindred spirit, somebody who's out there not only motivated to learn languages himself, but also motivating other people to do so. Great. I really enjoyed it.
As I've said to you before the interview, I told you that I've read your book 15 years ago. Yeah, so I'm following you for years.
Thank you.
So okay. I guess a lot of our viewers
will look forward to doing this book.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Have a great stay.
Thank you.
A wam wszystkim życzymy udanej podróży przez świat języków. Wszystkiego dobrego. Cześć.